99. Are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Guthrie, 909. In service and on the air. This is Sergeant Bruce Guthrie of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here's our chief, James D. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
When Unit 99 takes off on the dispatcher's radio signal, everything which happens is real. What you hear happened. This is the standing order to Sergeant Guthrie, the officer in charge of Unit 99. Get it on the spot while it's going on. And as you listen, this is what Guthrie does. Now to Unit 99 and Sergeant Bruce Guthrie on duty.
Unit 3. At 2:11 has just occurred at 1511 16th Street. Following is a description of the suspect. Male, Mexican, 27 or 28 years. Short build. Unit 3, respond.
Just had a stick-up on 16th Street in the 1500 block. Unit 3 has been dispatched. We'll cover in on it. This is a liquor store.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? I mean, how much?
Well, I imagine probably in the early 50s or 40s, something late 40s.
Something like that. Then?
That I couldn't say.
Was it light color or dark color?
I couldn't tell the color. See, it is.
Well, could you tell how many people were in the car?
No.
I mean, so what?
All we? No. We couldn't see any forms at all.
You don't know whether it was somebody waiting in the car or whether a man got into it himself?
No.
I turned back to your clothing again. Did he have a suit on?
No, I didn't get the impression that he was well-dressed, nor was he...
Wasn't shabby, huh?
No, not exactly.
Said something about a mustache.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had a mustache.
Mm-hmm. But I just say I got
so scared. Was he nice looking fellow, or just average?
Well, where I was, I didn't get too good a look at him. See, I was back in the kitchen there, and when I first... I didn't pay too much attention to the deal until I heard her say something about silver, and she was talking kind of loud. And then when I looked out here, he kind of ducked his head behind the cash register. Then I started walking out this way, and that's when he pointed the gun at me. That's the first I knew what was going on.
Did he say anything to you?
No, he didn't. He just pointed the gun like that, heading towards the door. Then he turned around and went out. Then I ran as fast as I could to the door, but by the time I got there, he was out of sight.
And I got so scared because he acted like the one that would really shoot. And he really did. Yes, he did.
Was he nervous?
A little bit. He kept moving the gun quite a bit.
Did he talk working?
No, not especially, no. About all he said was just give me your money, and then when I talked a little bit loud, he told me not to talk so loud. I think he said, shut up, don't talk so loud. And that was about the extent of his conversation.
Did you see him enter the automobile down in the alley?
It was dark down there. We couldn't even tell whether... We couldn't see anybody down there. The only thing we could see was the... we could hear the car starting up, and then they turned on the lights, and then they turned the lights off again until they drove down to the street. And then they turned the lights on again, and they turned down that way on 17th Street.
Sergeant, we just have picked up a suspect out here fitting a description of this party, and we'd like to have the lady come at this time come out and identify, make an identification of it.
Fine, we'll bring him outside. We have a man in Unit 62. The lady, the proprietor of the liquor store, is going to look at him. I understand this man was picked up at 20th and P Street by one of the traffic officers. He was transported back to the scene by Captain Richer in Unit 62. We're having a discussion by the car You're having the man, the suspect, get out?
Quite a bit of his size, but I just can't say. I just can't say yes.
Does the clothing match at all?
That I can't say. As soon as I saw that gun, I got so scared. I haven't been feeling very good anyway. And
did your husband see the culprit?
Just a glimpse of him, because when...
Come on.
He's here right now.
Is this the culprit here that held you up?
I couldn't say. I didn't get a good enough glimpse of him. It's about that build and about that height. And I'd say the complexion is about the same.
What about a clothing description, sir?
I can't give you any clothing description.
Then you couldn't possibly identify this party here, then?
No, I couldn't.
And neither could you, ma'am?
I'm sorry, I can't in this case.
Looks like one of those dead ends, doesn't it?
One of those dead ends, Sergeant.
Captain Richard, will you tell us what they're going to do with this suspect they picked up?
Well, I don't know at the moment. We're going to hold him and see if we can get any further identification. Of course, we'll look around here and see if we can find anybody else that might have seen the culprit leave, and if we can, we'll let them see if they can identify him.
You going to turn him over to the detectives?
We will.
Okay.
The description given by the victims of this armed robber was meager and vague, but don't be hasty in criticizing their failure to observe the bandit closely. Experience has shown that the average private citizen is not very observant, and even less so when a gun is pointed at him. The only suspect in this case was not identified and was released.
Unit 2. 415. Code 2. Check Unit 2. Came in on a 7.
Unit 2 has a call. Don't know what the nature of the call is, but it's a new car dealer. There's someone inside the office is motioning to us to come in. The unit has to arrive. Let's go in and see what it is. Doesn't seem to be any excitement, but the people are apparently expecting a policeman. We go in and contact them and see what the trouble is.
Wait, we repossessed the car from a guy, and he's threatening everybody with a lug wrench and so forth. I want him out here.
Where is he?
He's in there in the office. Threatening the guy with a lug wrench. There's three or four of us here kept him.
The unit that's answering this call will be here in just a minute. We'll go in and talk to him until they get here. Back here in the back? Hi, what's your deal? Trouble?
Oh, we repossessed a car here, and there seemed to be an argument about a tire that was on it.
We want him to keep the car, but the tire belongs to my brother, and we'd like the tire back. There's already five tires on it with the car that have yellow rims. This car has a green rim. This tire has a green rim. And we would like to take the tire because my brother wants it back. Now, other than that, everything else on the car is fine. We want them to keep it. We don't want it. But this tire is obviously has a green rim on it, and that's what we want.
It is your tire, huh?
Yes, there are five tires besides that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the whole deal is, now, I come in 1 month before that thing was due, and I told them that they can have the car back. I was not going to make any further payments on it. And he said, we don't want the car back. I said, okay, it'll be sitting over there. So he phoned me up last week. That was at the payment was due. He said he wants the car. I mean, that he wants a payment. He doesn't want the car still. I said, well, I'm not making a payment. You can have the car. So at about 8:39, he goes over there. He doesn't knock on my door or anything. They just tow the car away. They don't knock on my door. They don't tell me anything about it.
Well, you'd already given them permission to do that. You told them you didn't want the car.
Well,
no reason for you to get excited about it now.
No, we're not excited about the car. We don't give a darn about the car. But we want the tire, because it doesn't even belong to us.
Well, let's see if we can find out about this tire. How about this tire on the car?
Well, I maintain that we towed the car in here with the tire. The tire was on the car when we towed it in. I'm willing to have them come back and discuss it with the management and make the decision then. As far as I'm concerned, it was bolted to the car when we picked the car up, and therefore it's part of the car right now.
Well, you have a good point there. Well, actually, this gentleman is right. The tire is on the car, and it's a civil matter. It's something that you would have to take up through the courts, or, as he suggests, through the manager. It would make it so much simpler if you come down here in the daytime when they're open for business, talk to the manager, and see what kind of a deal you can make with him.
In other words, if they decide that the tire should go with the car, remember, it's just out of tire, and we... In other words, what do you do about that?
I told you, that's a civil matter. That's something that you would have to take up through the courts. Get yourself an attorney and let him look into it.
There's no question about this. There's five tires, and there's five that have yellow rims, one that have a green rim. There's no question in my mind. It's mine. I'm going to come down tomorrow, and I'm going to take it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you're going off a little bit. You're getting a little off base, because you can't go into any business place and take something.
No, you're wrong. It's no question in your mind.
And the same principle, I think, is very underhanded for that
Don't get yourself excited. It's not going to help the situation at all.
Well, there's no question about it. We'll come back in the morning.
And that would be the simplest thing to do. Come back and talk to the manager and see if you can't work out some kind of a deal with him. Do you want to prefer charges against this man?
Well, I'd rather not, sir.
Well, that makes it simple. You see, he's perfectly willing. I want to be reasonable about it. Why can't you?
We tried to be reasonable about it a month ago, and they wouldn't.
Well, that's the business policy. If that's the way they wanted to do it. No, they don't have the advantage. You had the car.
Well, it still doesn't mean
anything. I come down here, I set the car there, and I said, you can have the car. I don't want it. I'm going to leave it there. He said, you can't do that.
That's right. You had a contract with him. Just the fact that you don't want the car, you can't just give it up.
Well,
but you don't have to make the payments, that's true. And then they can repossess it, but they have to stay within the law, too.
Is that within the law to go out the street?
Right.
And not even let me know about it?
They don't have to let you know.
They take my personal possessions and everything else?
It isn't your personal possession that's in the car, and they take it. If you want to come down here and get it the next day, you can do so during business hours. Not at night.
Is that his business hours to go out there now? Is that business hours, sir?
Now, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
He come there at 8:30. That is not business hours to go pick a car up.
They can pick the car up at any time. Once those payments are in default, they can pick the car up. That's legal. They have a legal right to do that.
But yet, by the same token, I can't come down here. I mean, he did let me, though. All except the tire.
Well,
so far as I can see, there's no further point talking, because all he wants the tire will come back tomorrow and get
it. That's the thing to do. Come back tomorrow and take care of it.
Okay.
In this case, the arrival of the police may have averted serious trouble. The man whose car was repossessed was quite upset and did threaten the auto agency employees with a lug wrench. However, Sergeant Guthrie acted as unofficial mediator, and violence was avoided.
Unit 99, 940, Unit 6 at 30th and G, George.
99, got up, Roger.
Okay, 99,
aiming 907. Unit 6 wants us to meet them at 30th and G. We'll see what it is.
Hi, Jack. What do you got?
Well, we got a young girl here that either apparently snuck off with the father's car, or the boyfriend took the car and she dropped the boyfriend off, and she's proceeding to driving around town. She doesn't know how to drive an automobile, and doesn't have a driver's license, never did have one. She practically ran us down going through a stop sign trying to control the car, pulled her over here and asked her where, how she got it. Comes out some kind of a story about her father let the boyfriend have the car, and she dropped him off. Now,
how old is the girl?
16 years old. We're in the process of taking her home now and seeing what the father has to say about it.
Well, let's talk to her and see what it is. I'm going to slide over here, young lady, so we can talk to you, please.
Would you explain how you come by to getting this car tonight, please?
Well, this guy, he came home from the Air Force, and he drove the car to his house, and then after he went inside, he said he'd be out to drive me home, but he didn't come out, so I just drove him.
He has the car with your father's permission?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that he left you with the car? Why isn't he still with you with the car?
Well, I told you, he got out.
Well, wasn't he supposed to drive you home with the car?
Yes, but he went inside. I turned off the motor. The gas was running, and I turned it off. I guess he thought I left or something.
So then you just took it on your own to drive the car then, huh? You were going home with it. Knowing, of course, that you don't have a driver's license and don't know how to drive a car. Do you realize that you could very easily kill yourself or many other people in doing that?
No.
Do you realize the seriousness of it?
Yes.
Well, I think you better take her home and talk to her father. We'll follow you over there and see what he has to say. You're at the house. Officer Morris and Boone are taking the girl out of the car, and they're going up to the front porch of the house. This is a story and a half residence in a residential area, older type home. Apparently it's been broken up into small apartments. They're going around to the rear of the building. The young lady is leading us out clear behind the residence, going up the rear stairs. The lights on in the house. Going inside in the back porch.
You better knock on the door and wake him up. We're going to have to wake him up anyway.
Who's supposed to be in there?
My father and mother and my and brothers and sisters. It's me, Mom.
Is your husband here?
Yeah, he's in bed.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Going to turn on some lights so we can see, please.
You drove that car before? Never have used it before at all?
No, I fiddled around with it, backed it up in the driveway, but I didn't ever drive it.
You see, you are 16 years of age. Have you ever thought of going through the legal procedure to get a driver's license?
What's that?
You're not aware of how to get one at all? Evening. Found your daughter here tonight, driving a car, which belongs to you, after she nearly ran us down, going through a stop sign. We asked her if you knew she had the car, and she said that you had given her boyfriend permission to use the car.
Yeah, the boy.
Now, the boy evidently left your daughter in the car to go in and visit somebody or something, and she waited for a while and decided he wasn't coming back and proceeded to drive the car home herself. Now, she doesn't know how to drive a car at all. She couldn't stop it at a stop sign, and we had to bring ours to a complete stop and swerve to avoid getting hit. And we pulled her over, and she told us that she had the car with your permission for him to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the boy is in from the Air Corps, see? And he came here, and I told him that he could use the car, see? He's a very good boy. He doesn't drink. That's one thing he doesn't do. You know, he's dependable. But I didn't know that that would, or I'd, you know, I wouldn't have even let him have it at all. Because I've just been teaching here lately. I haven't got it to permit her.
She could use some more instructions, believe me.
Yeah, she can use some more.
There's one thing about it. We're not just exactly sure what happened. Would you try to find out why she was driving the car for us?
Well, he went in the house, and it was dark around there. I didn't want to go around there. I waited there. I was sitting in the car for half an hour, so I turned off the gas.
I was coming up to you sitting out there anyway at the first place.
I don't know. He said he was going to go in.
Where do you go in? In his father's house?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he don't know where you're at. Now he's going to be worried about you.
I didn't want to sit out there all by myself all night.
How long did you wait for him?
About a half an hour, I guess.
Well, you know he'd have came out sooner or later. He'd out there and talking to his father or something. You know he wasn't going to be in a hurry because he just got back from the... Maybe he's been gone over a year. He was going to come back, you know.
You sure that you and the boyfriend didn't have an argument? He left you?
Oh, we're not that good of a boyfriend.
Not that good friend.
Well,
he stayed with me.
He said before he went in service, you know, stayed with me. And as soon as he got his furlough, well, he come right back. Come right back here, you know, just same as his father.
Used to go to shows together and
his father was, the boy's father wasn't very good to him, see, so I'm more of his father than he is. So he comes right back to me, you know.
Right. Where were they supposed to go tonight?
They was just going to go for a ride. That's all it was.
Didn't have any particular destination in mind.
No particular destination.
Where did he say he was going when he got out of the car?
To his father's house.
He went to visit with his father?
Mm-hmm. But there was no lights on, and I thought his father was gone. But he went in there, and there was still no lights on that I seen, because it was dark around there, and I didn't think anybody was home. I heard him slam the door, but then he never came out.
So. What did you do? Just take the car and run off and leave it?
Well, I didn't know what was happening.
Well, you know he was still in there. You didn't see him. You should have run off and left him. He doesn't know what's happened to you. You know that? And you know good well he's going to be worried. That's for sure. And you just took the car and you started off. Yeah, he's out there. He doesn't know whether someone come up and jabbed a gun on you. Says, okay, scoot over. Let's go.
Well, I think that you should try to impress on your daughter the seriousness of driving an automobile without a driver's license.
Well, I have.
You say that you were teaching her to drive. Did you ever make an effort to get a license for her?
Well, no, not yet. I told her I was going to go out next payday. I said I'll go out next payday and get a permit. But she had no permission. She had no permission to drive in that car at night herself. Did you, girl?
No.
Do you realize how serious it could be for your father if you had an accident?
Yeah.
It would be very bad for him.
I think it's soaking in now, though. I think she's realizing it right now.
Professor Morris, what are you going to do with this girl now?
Well, she seems to be a pretty clear-headed girl, so, and the father seems to be very cooperative in the situation, so we feel we'll turn it over to the parents and let them handle it in their own way. And we hope that we never, and we don't think we ever will, catch her again in this situation.
Well, I appreciate very much your cooperation on that part. And trusting me on turning the whole thing over to me. And I also believe the same thing. I don't think she'd do it again.
How about you, young lady? How do you feel about it?
I'm sorry I did it.
I don't think you'll do it again, will you?
No.
Your first reaction possibly was that this girl was quite unlucky in having her near collision with a police car. But, as a matter of fact, that might have been the luckiest thing that ever happened to her. The officers got her out of the car and off the streets, and in so doing, may have saved her life.
This is Unit 99 in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Bruce Guthrie in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 was directed by Tony Kester and came to you from Sacramento.
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, 908, come in. End of tour.
Check 99, KMA 907.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.